Good morning. Good morning, Sarah. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Amen. So we're continuing to talk about grace. And there's this interesting line here. It says in verse 16, it says, For His fullness we have all received. Right? And so, you know, John, you know, is saying that we've received His fullness. We understand what this is, but when Jesus came, He brought grace upon grace. What an interesting term that is, right? Grace upon grace. And then He continues the thought and says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You know, and so Paul will spend a considerable time, especially in Galatians, you know, dealing with this whole idea of grace and law. You know, and he chooses, you know, in Galatians, he chooses the ritual of circumcision to depict this kind of portrayal. You know, and just so we can understand, you know, grace and law, the real, not necessarily difference, but kind of what lays out is that you can imagine grace and law kind of being two different roads, right? And one road, you know, is law, and the other road is grace. If you're walking on the road of law and you mess up, that's it. You're dead. Right, there's no turning back, there's nothing you can do. But if you are walking on the road of grace and you do mess up, something happens, there's recourse because there's grace. You know, as I've been just looking through the scriptures, right, Peter 3:18 says that we can grow in grace. You know, as I shared a few days before, right, we can actually grow in this grace. One of the most beautiful passages in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, we hear, you know, about Paul is saying, you know, there's this thorn of in my flesh. I asked, you know, the Lord to come and take this away, and He didn't. And the Lord's and Jesus' reply is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. You know, what an incredible line. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, whatever situation that you're going on in your life, you know, and Paul is talking about pain. He's talking about, you know, most scholars believe that Paul is talking about his eyesight, you know, that he, you know, is getting poor in vision. And as a scholar, you know, can you imagine? That would be a devastating thing for you. If you had this kind of condition, you know, for people that don't read and study, you lose your eyesight, big deal, right? It's like a person, you know, a basketball player that, you know, hurts his hand or something. Wow, it's devastating, you know, for someone that doesn't play sports, big deal, right? And things, and so it seemed to be that this is kind of what he's talking about here, and he says that his grace is sufficient for us. So grace, this unmerited favor, is something that is so overriding in our lives that it's just not referring to salvation, right? It's just not referring to grace to be saved through faith. You know, grace, this unmerited favor, is talking about this covering over our lives. You know, this huge canvas that comes over us, you know, that brings us into, you know, this place of life, really. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, but then at the other side, you know, we can also be aware that grace is something that can be abused. See, this is the thing, right? And this is what Paul spends a little time on. If grace is something that you get, right, that you you know, you receive this. You don't do anything for it. It's a free gift. It's offered to us, and then we can sin, right? You know, I mean, there will be nothing holding us away from sinning, you know, from, you know, going and doing certain things, because we can always receive grace, you know. And so that's why, you know, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, preachers don't talk about the fullness of grace, because there's always that fear of, well, people can very much abuse it, and that can be abused. You know, Jude, in verse 4, you know, he talks about grace that can be abused, you know. Paul also talked about in Galatians that we can actually fall from grace, you know, if we choose to live according to the law. In other words, if we choose to go back to that road of the law, we can actually fall from grace, you know. But grace, you know, it can be abused. And the word he says is, you know, they turn grace and turn it upside down, and it becomes licentiousness, you know, which is like, you know, apart from any rule or law or correct living, and it usually deals with things of a sexual matter. You know, and there's a place in our lives, right, that actually grace can be abused. And we see this, you know. People have a clear, you know, have an understanding, well, grace, that's something I get. I don't have to do anything for it, and so it doesn't really matter what I do, et cetera, et cetera. And it could, you know, to a devious mind, it could very easily give people a license to sin. And Paul spends quite a bit of time, you know, dealing with this issue. But see, that's the whole beauty of grace, right? Grace has its risks. You know, can you imagine when God, you know, created the universe, and he set these moral laws in effect, and, you know, and he knew that man could not keep the law. They knew that the capacity of man was not able, you know, to uphold the law which he had given to govern the universe. And so, you know, God in his wisdom, you know, his son came forth, and, you know, they had a conversation in heaven, and they thought, you know what, I'm going to, you know, we're going to introduce this idea, and the idea was grace. And there was a real risk in grace. The risk was that people could very easily abuse it. You know, the risk was that God can so easily, freely give, freely forgive, you know, just a bountiful, you know, measure of unmerited favor, that it could be abused. You know, and, you know, in essence, that's the beauty of grace, though. Because, yes, it could be abused, you know. Yes, it could turn into licentiousness, but even in that, grace will still overflow. You know, I shared, you know, kind of the picture. I know it really grossed people out, but, I mean, it's such a beautiful, I mean, the picture's not beautiful, but the way of the words is beautiful, right? And when sin abounds, right, God flushes the toilet and grace overflows, you know? And there's some truth to that. It's like, you know, I'm American. We have something called freedom of speech, right? That's what makes America, America. Sure, a lot of idiots can say a lot of things now. You know what I mean? And if you look at the websites, and, you know, people can do all kinds of stuff, you know. But that's kind of the beauty of the United States of America, is there is that freedom to say things, even if it's harmful, even if it's, you know, dirty and gross and, you know, and all these things. But that's what freedom of speech allows, you know, to happen. And in that way, I know it's not a very good parallel, you know, but it does say something about grace, you know. It's given to us, yes, it could be abused, you know. We can, you know, become the biggest of sinners, and God will always provide that avenue for us to receive grace. You know, it could be abused, but that's kind of the beauty of it. That's how free and so and clean and perfect, you know, God's grace is to the world. There's something quite heroic about it, even, we could say. You know, that it can be abused. We can fall from grace. And, you know, we can do all kinds of stuff to really abuse this grace. But the grace will always be there. My grace is sufficient for you. And it says, for my power is perfected in weakness. I'm actually going to preach on a little bit of that on Sunday, and so you can look forward to that. So let's close our eyes today. And without much posturing in our hearts or anything like that, let's just thank God for grace. Not that we will, because we're not depraved, abuse it. But you know what? Even if we abused grace, it will still be made available to us. That's the beauty of it. I hope I was able to relay that today in this devotion. But that's how wonderful it is. Even if we abuse it, His grace will continue to abound. Obviously, we don't want to abuse it. We want to grow in it. We want grace not to be like a lifesaver, you know, like a life jacket. We want the grace to be wings, like rockets that we take off from, so that more grace can abound to us. Grace upon grace. So let's thank the Lord for the grace in our lives. Let's pray to God that we would grow more in this grace. That the Holy Spirit would just hover over us. That we would be able to be gracious to others around us. As Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just go to the Lord and just thank Him. You know, grace, one of the definitions is actually thankfulness. That's why we say grace when we pray before we eat. So let's operate in grace by giving grace to God for giving us grace.
Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
Let's ask for grace over our community today as we pray for people that are sick and people that are struggling, going through different things, people that are looking for work, people that are discontented in their work. Let's just ask the Lord to just pour grace upon Solomon's Porch and all the people and all the people that were connected to our families. And His grace is sufficient for us. And whatever areas of weakness or whatever is going on, that He would continue to empower those things as He pours grace. Let's pray. Let's pray for our meetings this week, this weekend. Let's pray for God's grace to overpower us. Let's pray tonight, McCain House Church, and ask the Lord to bless Jimmy and Bo as they lead the house church. Pray for experiencing God. It's actually our last meeting before the retreat. Let's pray for just God's goodness to shower over us as we finish the race. And let's pray for GIC and ask God to continue to bless so many of them. Not one person has dropped out this GIC, which is a minor miracle, you know. And let's pray for God to continue to bless them. Let's pray on Saturday. We have our a dance class, and pray for a good time together as Marcia leads that time. Pray for intercessory prayer meeting on Saturday. Pray for the youth group. Pray Sunday our services and our house church leaders meeting in the evening. Pray for Noah's Ark and the kids. Let's just ask God to just cover us as we gather together throughout this weekend to really lift His name higher and be recipients of grace in all that we do as we come together. Let's pray. Let's do a shout out, a special prayer for this coming Monday. It's the beginning of Cascade, our inner healing ministry. Let's pray for all the members And the volunteers will be ministering to people. Pray for the people that will be coming, you know, real gutsy, you know, courageous to come out and for inner healing. And let's pray for Rebecca, that the Lord would strengthen her and just guard her and cover her as she leads this ministry and really come against the warfare that's already begun. All right, so let's just cover and ask God's grace and blessing to cover the Monday nights at church. Lord, we bless you today, God. We thank you for the privilege of coming to pray and to seek your face. God, watch over us this weekend. Let grace abound to all of us, Lord, as we draw near to you, God, in community and fellowship, Lord, in love and into your word, Father. Thank you, God. Watch over us this weekend. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you at church.